No. Bobby, you haven't lived until you shot off your tutu. I mean,
your cop tutu. Hat into somebody else's butthole.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the DL Gaming Podcast. We're here with Chad.
Hey, what's up?
Chi.
Hi.
Emilio.
Woohoo!
And myself, Bobby. What's going on, guys? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
It hasn't hit me yet, the Christmas thing.
Okay. No, because we don't have any Christmas thing here.
I was just going to ask, what's the most that you've done for the towards the Christmas spirit?
Not a goddamn thing.
Spirit of the holidays.
Peppermint mocha at Starbucks.
Starbucks.
Beautiful.
That is the limit.
And absolutely nothing. How about you, Bobby? Oh, actually, you do have something to contribute.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're advent keller.
Oh, yeah. I have an advent.
Oh, I got a little side note on that one, which is very short, but it's a Haribo advent calendar. And a little, just a fun fact, if you look up the Haribo sugar-free gummy bears on Amazon, that is comedy gold, because apparently they give you the worst bubble guts of any anything in existence. So look those up if you want to read some fun stuff.
Yeah, and if you didn't know what an advent calendar is, it's basically 30 days of gifts, surprises.
Yeah.
Like for each day, you open it up and you get something small. In this case, he's getting little. What about the sugar-free
gummy bears?
Gummy bears, okay.
Yeah, gummy bears.
And then for me, I love the holidays, and this year I managed to get out and grab a real Christmas tree, decorate that.
Nice.
And today I went Christmas shopping.
In a studio, no less.
Yeah, no, well, it looks good. I'll take
photos. In a studio where you stream from the kitchen, you got a Christmas.
Some things just should be secrets.
Oh, sorry.
No, just kidding. That's
been told
blown.
To me more than
it's
anything ever
blown
in my life.
And known. It's my niche.
Oh, yeah, you're green screening, aren't you?
Yeah, it's my
Oh,
niche.
Okay. Gotcha. I was confused on
She goes, no, Emilio, I fucking stream from the beach.
Yeah.
Just like my background says.
Well, we might actually get a tree this year, though, Emilio and I. First time ever. We'll see.
Yep.
Real or fake?
A real. Like, you can't go fake.
Titty or tree?
Well, titty, but I don't know. Well, I don't know. It's like apples and oranges.
All right.
But yeah, I saw advent. If there's a thing, there's an advent calendar for it. So I saw a whiskey one, a beef jerky one. You know, there's perfume ones. It's like whatever.
There's a Lego one that's really cool. They give you like a little Lego set that you put together,
mm-hmm.
like tiny ones.
And then
ones.
At the end, you can make a big Voltron Lego?
Or you can put them all together and form a giant dick, I'm sure. It doesn't matter. Like
Time to penis? Or yeah, what is it? I always forget what it's called.
I think that's it.
TTP?
TTP, I think is how it
the
is.
The TTP is exactly 30 days.
Yeah, 30 days on the Lego advent calendar.
And our TTP today was, 2 minutes and 20 seconds?
I think we got like 4 minutes in.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's pretty good. It was slower than our time to titties.
This is true.
So
and that was by Chi too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Seriously.
So this or coming up, we're within our group. We're gonna do a Christmas gift exchange, and I think we're gonna give each other games and then explain why we gave each other that game. Chi wanted to be physical, and I think that's a good idea too. So
we're
gonna give each other gift cards.
Let me explain it in the way it's meant to be explained. We are doing a secret Santa amongst the DLG group. So it's just the four of us. We picked names out
We wanted to do more, but we didn't think about it
early enough, unfortunately. But
so,
next year.
Sorry,
so
listeners.
This one should go well.
But if you guys want to send us games without getting anything in return, that's completely okay.
The rules of the secret Santa is that it has to be a Steam game. And the way we're going to unveil the Steam game that we got for our secret person is to basically print out and put it on a Christmas card what the game is and describing why they got it for the person. And then it's kind of like a riddle. From reading that card, you have to figure out
who gave it to you.
Who gave it to you? Mm-hmm. And then we're going to play that game on the podcast before Christmas. And
are we doing this next week or
and see how it goes.
That could work for the week after that. I'm going to be in town. We'll talk about
let's
that
give
later.
Us 2 weeks here.
Okay. Yeah.
And by the way, the chances of any of this shit happening are really low.
So. No, this is happening. You have to do it because everybody else is going to be spending
money. Besides that, if you want to join our Discord, where I'm telling you guys this is where the party's at, it's now on our website. So just go to the website, dlgaming.net, and there should be a link, Bobby, at the top.
Yep, there's.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You guys want to talk about some video games?
We're doing it live again this week also.
Yeah, we're on Discord live this time.
Yeah, turning out to be Sundays, late afternoon, early evening. Seems to be the time that we record. So if you want to be a part of that, check out the Discord. Yeah, let's talk about some games. Who wants to start?
Nothing on the radar this week. I looked. I think there might be a Halo game coming out before the end of the year, but not a whole a lot coming out down the pipe.
I'm really interested. Somebody posted something about Battletech. There's 22 minutes of gameplay. I have no idea what it is. I do want to check this out. Why are mechs so...
I know. It's
why
like
do they just draw you? Like, gee, do you have like an affinity for mechs? Like,
no, but I do like space games.
Yeah.
Mechs, I guess it kind of pulls that down onto Earth level, but... if it's more like Mass Effect, where it's different alien species with high-tech weaponry.
Way more your style.
Yeah, way more my style.
I think it's a guy thing with tinkering and mechanical things. I don't know. Mechs are almost cars that you tinker with and you build.
I'm going to get a little deeper on you. I think it's kind of like we know that's going to have to happen. I guess it doesn't really have to.
What?
Are mechs really going to be used ever, you think?
No.
I mean, maybe for loading crates and then possibly fighting off an alien.
Into bigger mechs?
Okay.
It's going to be a future sport, guys. Mech versus mech.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
God. What was that one game?
BattleBots?
What was that one movie from the 80s where they would decide wars by mechs fighting against each other? Anyways, I don't know. We got off on a tangent.
Yeah, okay. So, mechs. Battle mech.
So, we played some Street Fighter V. And I bring that up because I watched the Capcom Cup, which was last weekend, I believe.
I thought you were going to bring that up because you kicked my ass.
That's really cool.
Well, that too. But I've been practicing for...
Yeah, it's your 50 hours versus my two, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and two versus...
But you also said in last week's podcast that you'd kick my ass at Street Fighter. So I want you now to retract it and say I'm better than you at Street Fighter V.
Oh, this is like his Rocky moment.
Yeah. They were close matches.
They were not close. I was going through characters
I
don't
know how to
play.
I've never heard about Chad winning.
Oh, I win. Wait till we get to genital jousting.
Yeah. If it has to do with controllers, Chad usually wins. He has better dexterity with controllers.
There was no invitation for me. I saw that. I commented.
We'll get to it.
What do you think Max would have thought if he saw a text that said, come over for some genital jousting?
He would be running. Heck yeah.
I would just tell him.
And then he walks in the door and sees
us. And he would believe me. So
okay.
That's how our relationship works.
Well, let me get back to Capcom Cup real quick.
Okay.
So Capcom Cup is kind of their kind of world tour that they do for Street Fighter V. I bring this up because a really cool thing happened, at least for me. And there was two Americans in the top eight, and they actually met each other in the finals. So it was an all-American final for Street Fighter V, which, you know, when does that ever happen?
Yeah.
So the two people that were fighting against each other was spoilers. I'm sorry if you hadn't seen that, then I'm sorry about that. The two people that were fighting were this guy called Knuckle Dew and this girl called Ricky Ortiz, who is transgender, was born a man, identifies as a woman. Which,
okay.
And it was a really good. The top eight was really good. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, Street Fighter V is a lot of fun. They got Akuma coming out on the 20th, so that's going to be the start of season two. So if you haven't seen the Capcom Cup highlights, I recommend doing it. Street Fighter V is a lot of fun. I normally play on consoles, but they do have a PC version, so feel free to give it a go. So that's it for
Ricky Ortiz. Is identifying correctly. He looks like Cheese, lesbian aunt.
Oh my goodness.
he's
not even familiar. Asian.
He's on Evil Genius.
I think he's Latino.
Oh, is this the same guy?
Yeah, he's Evil Geniuses, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why I recognize the name, because I'm a little familiar with their organization and roster. And he's pretty old, too. He's 33, which is pretty old for a competitive gamer.
I think Knuckledew is not that young either. Hmm. He seemed, mid to late 20s.
I think that was just like a stigma that got attached to competitive gaming. Like, you got to be young with a fast reaction time. But I think as everybody's getting older, that a lot of competitive gamers are
getting older
as well.
There's something to be said for experience. Rogan brings this up all the time, where a fighter, like, once you get to the experience and you're so much more experienced, is when your body starts to deteriorate. And it's like nobody ever has all the experience and all the physical power at the same time. And that's the same thing with competitive gamer. As you gain more experience, your reaction times are getting slower. So it's all a balancing act and all a trade-off.
Yeah, for sure. That goes like that in all sports, you know. Anything physical, you start to tail off, but then the mental aspect starts to pull on, you know. Bobby, you didn't add to the show notes lines by Bobby, so I don't want you to forget that.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
Whenever you guys are ready.
I'm ready. I want to hear some right now.
In the middle of highlights and lights? Okay, fine.
All right. Let's do it.
Worst segue ever.
I'm sorry. I'm excited.
Delay the...
lines?
We all know genital jousting is next.
It's going to be the highlight of the show. We already know that.
All right. Well, the ones that I picked them out, got a while ago, and it's been... It's been a while since we've done this. I don't think they're that difficult. I think you guys are going to get these right away. If you're in chat, go ahead and play.
Wait. So, yeah, we don't shout this out, right?
Yeah, you don't shout it out. Okay. I mean, if...
Give the listener
a race, you know.
Give the listener a chance.
Yeah, give the listeners a chance.
Explain this to any new listeners real quick, or people that haven't heard.
New listeners.
My bad.
We love you, by the way. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Well, if you haven't, yeah.
This is a bit that I stole from Doug Loves Movies, where I say a line from a video, or
you
play a line from a video game.
I wish you would act it out.
That would be awesome.
Tell us straight.
You guys
please.
Try to guess what game it is. And... for the most part, they're all PC games, but I think we have some that aren't on this one, so we'll see here.
Those on Discord, feel free to shout them out.
I can't even quite remember where I got some of these, so you know, we'll find out. Hopefully they can hear this on Discord as well.
All right, yeah,
first one,
true.
Let's try it out. Fingers crossed.
Oh, I know that.
Yep.
Oh, that's Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Street Fighter. Gee,
what? Oh, am I
not? No. That was good. That was good.
Okay. Oh, I thought this was the game.
Is that a specific character, Bobby?
No.
Do you know? A bonus point if you know what character that is.
Yeah.
When they die.
Yes,
that
when they die.
Is,
I think it was Vega.
That is Ken.
No,
Ryu. It's
Ken.
Ryu.
No.
It's got to be.
Not Vega?
Let me play it again.
Oh, that's Guile. That's got to be Guile.
Is it?
It's got to be Guile.
Let me give you another hint. Oh, that's not the other hint. All right, here's the other hint.
Sonic Boom.
Oh.
That's Guile.
Yeah, that is Guile. Okay, that does sound good.
I always thought that was the funniest sound effect when I would play Street Fighter II on the Super Nintendo, because it was just like who makes that noise? Like, it's a ooh-ah. Like it's like an undulating groan as he falls to the ground. So, I don't know.
Do you think Guile was supposed to be the ladies' man in Street
Fighter? I don't know.
No, he was the protagonist in the movie.
Hey,
so,
yeah, but
hey, Discord, were you guys able to hear that?
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. He said me on the toilet, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
What's next, Bobby?
So a lot of these sounds are just things that, I don't know, for some reason stuck with me. So that's why I picked that one. Let's do another one here. This one.
Come on.
I think we played that one last time.
Am I allowed to? Yeah, we're allowed to blur them out, right? Yeah. That was
The Warcraft orc.
Exactly.
Warcraft 3.
Job's done.
Jumped him.
Oh, that's not
okay, cool. That's what happens.
That's Guile. Street Fighter.
Get off the shitter, Emilio. Yeah.
That same orc, when you knock him out, does that same thing.
If you go online and you look at the audio files for Warcraft 3, there are barks and lines that I have never heard before, and I've played a lot of that game. I guess if you continually click on them, they say some pretty funny stuff. Like, there's one where he says, "Me not that kind of orc," and I've never heard someone say
that.
Continually click on it.
I've heard that in something else.
Yeah, real life. At the bar.
Me not that kind of orc.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right,
man.
Let's do one more, and this is a very easy one. Super easy. If you don't get this, get the fuck out. Ooh, that was a little
Okay, StarCraft.
Wait.
Diablo is not the answer.
I don't know what that is.
Definitely not Diablo. No, well, close. In the Blizzard franchise. You don't know what that is?
Let's do it one more time.
It's a Protoss.
If you have played Cards Against Humanity, this is a card that's in there. Really heavy.
What is he actually saying?
You must construct additional pylons.
Oh, you must just construct.
Oh, yeah, Protoss.
I think in music they call that phasing or flanging or something, where there's kind of like a delay effect.
Thing, yeah.
And it's used on all Protoss, but it's so heavy on that line that it can be hard to tell what he's saying. But yeah, that's the classic line from
StarCraft.
You'll
hear it a lot.
Okay. You know, when you try to build something, pylons are your energy source and also kind of like your house, you know, so you have to have a certain amount of pylons to build more units. So if you don't have, if you have too many units and not enough pylons, that's the sound effect that you get. Classic.
I'm sad to say that I don't play, I don't think I've ever played StarCraft really.
Not even StarCraft, really? The original?
Yeah.
Brood War?
No.
Are we coming back to more lines later, Bob?
I got one more.
Amelia, how long does your arm outstretch, and can you like slap Chad? Because Chad's right next to me, but yeah. It wouldn't feel right if I just slapped him at the
I'm a Warcraft guy, not a StarCraft.
Or it would be like the favorite thing that happened for me this week.
Staple StarCraft. Staple StarCraft. Yeah. Staple PC like, games. It's like,
know, if you're in the movies or if you're a movie critic and you're like, Godfather, never seen it. What's
I've never seen Godfather either.
Yeah, well, you aren't a movie critic, so we'll
forget
you.
That's true. That's true. But I am a gamer podcast guy, so I probably should
have played StarCraft.
I probably should have played StarCraft.
It's because StarCraft wasn't released on mobile, that's why.
I realized very quickly I am absolute garbage at RTSs, because I have about four APMs, I think.
Yeah.
So
same way.
And so I'm like, okay.
Paralysis by analysis, right?
Yeah. I could get this game. I would not have fun with it.
Yeah.
I would probably not beat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
All right. Well, we'll come back to the last line or two later. Let's move on. Who's got something to talk about?
I mean, I got a ton of stuff.
Genital jousting, everyone.
Yes, I'm just waiting. I am just waiting.
Should we save that one for the last?
Did you play it?
No, I actually saw that you guys were playing it. I had sent you a Steam message.
Do you know what it looks like, by the way?
I recommended the game to you guys.
Bobby, do you know what this looks like?
Do you recall that?
No. I heard you guys talking about
Bobby, you have to see this.
Okay, so Genital Jousting, I purchased for Emilio because I thought it was funny that I could send him Genital Jousting. And $4.99, up to 8-person co-op, not co-op, competitive.
It's a great price.
Yeah. It's still in early access.
Okay, so, I mean, it's pastel-colored cocks with balls. And buttholes.
And buttholes.
So you play as a cock butthole balls. The balls kind of come into play because...
They're bumpers.
They're bumpers.
Much like real life.
You know what it is, Chad?
They're bumpers.
No. When you think of a...
Is it bumper?
When you think of a sword and it has a hilt and a blade...
A handguard.
A handguard.
Okay, gotcha.
The balls are your asshole
guard. Yeah, you gotcha.
Your asshole guard. So you can use them strategically.
You're not muted, by the way, Bobby, so just keep that in mind.
You can use them strategically to protect your butthole.
So
the bigger your balls, the less penetrated you get.
But in some games, your dick grows, and so you can actually hit your own butthole.
You can fuck yourself.
You can fuck yourself in this game.
And what's so interesting about that is if you fuck yourself, you actually don't lose.
I'm going to share this episode with your parents, by the way, so just keep this in mind.
You don't lose as bad as if you were not to have fucked yourself.
So tell us, what does the arena look like in this game?
A pastel background.
So it's a mini games style game. So you start off, but when you first get the game, there's only one mode, and you play it, and then it unlocks like this multi mode ability, and then you start unlocking more and more mini games. But each mini game is a little bit different. The game is fun. It's still in early access. It wasn't like super fun. A lot of the fun is actually just seeing the graphics, because it's so ridiculous that you can't help but laugh, and it makes the funniest sounds. And when you actually get, when the dick goes in your butthole, your dick actually ejaculates.
And so
no
like,
way.
Yeah. So
and
it's
so
like
does the other
time.
One. When
every
the other one
time.
Pulls out of you, it ejaculates as well.
Yeah. And
oh goodness.
Yeah. It is. If you haven't seen videos,
how slippery
or
are there controls in this game?
It's a little bit of fumblecore, but not too much. You kind of know what you're doing.
Yeah.
The problem is you're kind of dragging the balls around. You're moving the head like a snake, and the balls are just kind of dragging along. So if you're trying to protect your butthole, you got to kind of you got to kind of move to wiggle around to make sure.
So we're actually talking about chodes, not full hard on dicks. Otherwise, well, there's no wiggling.
Yeah, no, these are limp dicks.
And I always thought, like, every time I got the black dick, and I felt like I had no advantage.
Yeah.
But in real life, I'd have a fantastic advantage.
Oh, that's true.
And so these are all very clean shaven.
But, yeah. So anyway.
Which I was a little disappointed. Maybe you get to unlock, because you start unlocking in costumes. So we unlocked the hula skirt. We unlocked the police outfit. Oh, and the police outfit comes with a hat. So when you ejaculate for the first time, it shoots the hat off.
You can lose your hat.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's
so
worth the money just to watch somebody play.
That's what you're not buying a fantastic game here.
No.
The mechanics are trivial at best.
It's
the concept and the visuals that you're buying here. And it's worth it. It's worth the $5.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
No, it is. I mean,
it's like one of those challenge videos, but it'd be the challenge video game. How long can you play this game without, you know,
without laughing?
Getting a boner or laughing, you know?
Without getting a boner. I hope the rest of my life is what I hope the answer for getting a boner is.
I did not get a boner.
But you can play 8-person competitive, and there's not a ton of games on Steam that you can play 8-person competitive. So if you do have large groups, or you have a lot of Steam controllers, or you have a lot of Xbox controllers, and you have opportunities to play 8-person, this game would be a lot of fun with 8-person. We played with 3 people because it's 3-person minimum on the... I think it was 3-person minimum, right? But anyways... If you do get groups of 8 and can sit in a room and play all 8 people, you can do local co-op with 8, and that I can imagine would be a lot of
that
fun.
That would be pretty chaotic.
Yeah. A lot of
dicks. I think they missed... I like the name, but I think they missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
It's going to be called 8-person compilation.
Wow.
Yeah.
And on that note, that's all fun. No. What else we got on the show notes? But it was fun.
It was fun.
We were chuckling.
It's $5.
Yeah, we were chuckling.
Yeah,
I think you're giving that game too much credit.
You didn't play it, Bobby. You didn't play.
And apparently, I don't have to because it's not about the actual game. It's about the visuals, which I can see right there.
Well, you're controlling the visuals.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if it was like a bachelorette party, but no.
Bobby, you haven't lived until you shot off your tutu. I mean,
your cop hat into somebody else's butthole.
Yeah.
You know, I think we just have to arrange another co-op night or a gaming night. And by the way, since we
are you crying?
No, I'm not crying. Oh. No, it's like I'm laughing that hard.
It was so beautiful. She started crying. But,
right, exactly. The beauty brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
No, but it's if we ever do plan another co-op LAN, and I'm just going to drop this since I saw it mentioned, and since I mentioned it in my last podcast, I name dropped a board game, Talisman.
Uh-huh.
Great thing for a co-op. You know, anywhere from 3 to 6 people. And for this one here, recently I found out when I was trying to buy the expansion for it that GW and Fantasy Flight Games had a huge upsetting and disbandment and for now they are discontinuing production of all of their games. So those are going to be the hot items this Christmas.
Do they make the board game or do they make the software for the digital?
They make the board game. As for the software, I'm pretty sure you can download that. No problem.
Okay.
And it's just a matter of having it.
I feel anything.
That there's going to be a how many players can you play, G?
I believe it's up to 8. But
there's going
to
be a giant Christmas Talisman.
Oh, that'd be so great.
Discord game going.
Yeah.
That would be fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
How much is it, Bobby?
I think he said it was $12.
It's got to be cheaper than that.
Never mind.
No, it's definitely cheap. No, it's like not even $3 on mobile app.
Oh, okay.
And then on Steam, you could purchase it too.
$8, says Alto.
Yeah. On Steam, it's $8. And there's quite a bit of DLC.
And on top of that, you don't need the DLC. I think just the original game.
I also foresee on our Secret Santa, we are all going to buy each other Talisman. Just so
that'd be funny.
Right? Yeah, you can buy a six pack.
Buy a six pack for $30.
I've given away copies of this game. You can see right there, it's been in a bundle 5 times. Like, this is one of those things that gets packaged a lot on those bundle sites.
Oh, nice.
So you could probably find it on G2A for super cheap as well.
So I guess it's my turn to talk about games since I haven't been talking at all. But I played The Last Guardian on PS4. Obviously, it's a PC game, console game. But the reason I bring it up is the game involves a boy and this giant creature that he kind of befriends, and they work together to try to solve something.
I understand that The Last Guardian is reminiscent of, what's that one game on the original PlayStation where you only have to seek out... No, not
Shadow of the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus. Bingo.
Okay.
So this is the predecessor of those.
Yes. This is the third in the series. Ico, yeah. The Shadow of the Colossus, now The Last Guardian. The reason I bring this up, since this is not a PC game, the reason I bring it up is Amino's got a dog last week, and he's having some issues.
He might die.
Oh, no. I forgot that you brought that up.
So,
oh, no.
This guy kind of has this pet.
I'm putting on my clown face for everyone underneath it.
So we've been dealing with pets a lot. I was played this game all week. Emil's been playing his real life pet a lot this week. So I was thinking to myself, and this game got kind of emotional for me. And you know, you really get attached to this creature. And I was thinking to myself, what is the best pet in game? So I wanted to ask you guys, what is your favorite video game pet? But before I do it, I'm going to give you a list of some... I did some research. I actually planned ahead on this. I did some research, and I've got some pets, some well-known video game pets that you can choose from, or you can come up with your own. So I'm going to shoot you through this quick list.
Before you get into that, let me just say, The Last Guardian was super impressive looking. I sat there and watched it like it was a movie. This is... For me, the most impressive thing I've seen on a console ever.
Yeah, and it had some technical problems, but it is very, very nice. Okay, so here's some ideas for your favorite video game pet. Shadow of the Colossus has Aggro, which is the horse in Shadow of the Colossus. Half-Life has Lamar the Head Crab. WoW and Warcraft has Misha, the pair for Rexxar. Pokemon has Pikachu, Mario has Yoshi, Fable 2 just has their dog, but the Fable 2's dog is kind of a big part of Fable. Final Fantasy has Chocobos, Ocarina of Time has his horse is called Epona, Fallout has dog meat, Half-Life 2 has dog, remember that big robotic creature that follows?
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Blood Dragons has Badass, which is kind of the last thing that you ride at the very end of the game. And then Mega Man 3 has his dog called Rush.
I've got my answer.
Claptrap, Fastidious mentions Claptrap. I don't really consider Claptrap a pet.
He's sentient, man.
Because he talks and stuff. He's a character. I understand what you're saying, Fastidious, and he would be one of my favorites if I could include him, but I don't consider him really a pet.
He's one of the best characters ever.
Yeah, he is awesome. Claptrap is amazing.
Should I go first? I have one.
Okay, if you go for it.
I would say the pet system in WoW. I can't say a specific one. Maybe... So... It wasn't the way that it is now, where you can kind of just conjure up whatever you want.
Yeah, you can pick from it, and then you don't need to feed them. You don't need to level them up too much and all
that. When I played, it was like playing, what do you call it? Like a
Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchi, that's what it was like. And above that, it was, you had to search out the very rare ones. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a specific
There still is rare ones.
Oh, okay.
But they're specifically... in the game for hunters to capture.
Right. And so once you got it, then you can name it however you wanted. And when I played, I think now you can give them the stats that you want. But when I played, if you wanted a tank, you would get a turtle because it's defensive. Yep. And if you wanted something to do a lot of damage, you got a cat that would make something bleed with its claws because it had three attacks. And man, I really, really got attached to some of my pets. And some I would, you know, I think back then you could only have three. There was times when I would only keep one around for nostalgic reasons. Like, he wasn't good for raiding. He wasn't good for anything. But it's just like, I worked so hard to get this dude. And, like, he leveled me up all the way up when leveling was slightly difficult.
Oh, so you're talking about hunter's pets, not the pets that come in cages.
No. Hunter's pets, yeah. Okay. I mained a hunter.
Oh, okay.
So which was your favorite pet for your hunter?
There was a lion. I don't remember what it was called. And he only spawned, like, once a day. And, like, I camped him out.
The white lion that was in Barrens.
Zanglemarsh? No.
Barrens, yeah.
Barrens, yeah.
Is that horde?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, in the Barrens, yeah. That was one of them. There was a turtle I really liked. That's the one I was talking about, nostalgic. Like, nobody was running turtles. But I was like, no, this guy can tank and all this stuff. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
And I'm a...
Good answer.
And I'm glad that you brought this up, because pets and turrets is what... Everything that I love in gaming is pets and turrets.
Things that you don't have to control.
Yeah, I love it.
Yep, I agree.
Are you going to share any more about your real-life pet now?
Nah, it's just a downer.
Okay.
He's got...
I'll let you know if he's still alive next
week. Got like
parasites.
Parasites that. And so he's dealing with that.
Sending lots of love.
Chi or Bobby, any pet? I gave you a big list to choose from.
I have something.
Okay.
I would say all of my animals in the Harvest Moon games that I had.
All of them? You get one.
No, I mean, you have an entire farm there. I get to pet them all.
Yeah, but you got to pick one. Which one?
No.
A meteor is landing on Earth, and you get to run off with one of them from Harvest Moon. Which one are you taking?
The goat?
I would probably take a chicken.
A chicken.
But no, like, the thing about the Harvest Moon animals, this is what is unique about them, is that you get to name every single one. And then with the chicken egg, you get to incubate it and then have a with one chicken and with the eggs that they lay, you have this whole family of chickens. So you just, you know, breed your own chicken family. And it's cool because you get to put them outside. They feed themselves. You only bring them inside when it rains. And it's like they were great. To profit off of and to cook with the eggs. And Not only that, when you name them, I had this thing with my farm animals. I would name my cluster of chickens a certain category, my cluster of cows a certain category. Like, one might be just like, maybe all the boys I liked would be my chickens.
Wow.
And then, like, if I liked a show, like, for instance, I remember I really liked Naruto back in the day, and I would name all of my cows like Naruto names. Like, there was a Sasuke, Naruto.
I thought for sure you'd name all the cows.
Kakashi.
All the girls you didn't like, name all the cows.
No, I would never want to see their names on a screen. Like, I'm in my Harvest Moon world to enjoy my animals.
Bobby, what you got?
Cool. I can't think of a particular animal.
Oh, boy.
Maybe.
Lamar the head crab. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Didn't they defang him or something?
Yeah, they defanged him so he couldn't he couldn't suck your face up.
He did cause some problems, though. That game kind of pissed me off because it was at the beginning of the game, well, maybe 20 minutes into it, they try to teleport you to an area, and something goes wrong with the teleportation, and you spend 75% of the game just getting to the point that you would have been able to teleport to had that fucking head crab not messed things up.
Yeah, that's the fun of it. That's
no,
why it's kind of cool.
No, that's not... I hate when games do that. They're like, oh, let's just go down this hallway. Whoops, oh, there's a fire there. Well, let's spend half an hour circumnavigating that now.
That's like
Bobby,
Zelda,
30
right?
minutes of fun.
Yeah, 30 minutes
it's
of fun.
It's supposed to be fun.
No. I think that's lazy.
I don't know what fun is.
So, Trico is the animal in The Last Guardian. But the reason that it was... Part of the reason that was so fun... Is he was kind of like a cat and kind of like a bird where he'd perch.
And a lizard and a monkey.
But the thing that's really unique about this one is he is so much bigger than you. You're kind of his pet. So you're kind of running around in areas that he can't get to. And he kind of, but he still treats it like a dog. Like, if you get injured, he like lifts you up and tries to stand you up, even though you're like passed out. So he'll you can tell, like, he cares about you eventually, even though sometimes he tries to kill you.
When I came into watching this game, I saw Chad during one of the last sequences, and I could tell he was getting a little... He was catching some feels.
Yeah, it was a good game. But anyways, this is a PC podcast, so I'm not going to talk about it. What else we got?
Since we've been so depressing lately, I guess I'll talk about That Dragon Cancer.
Ooh.
I finally played it.
Ooh.
Yeah. The game's only about an hour and a half, 2 hours long. You can breeze through it pretty quick. And it's one of those games where it's not necessarily a game, but more of an interactive experience. But it is really depressing. It's about a kid that gets diagnosed with cancer at 1 year old, and his struggle with that for 4 more years until he died. And you're playing through this kind of from the perspective of the father, but you bounce around through different characters, just kind of observing third-person omniscient point of view. And... you know, it goes through the ups and the downs, and everything's very surreal and metaphorical. And it's really, really depressing. I was going to watch the video. There's a video that's a documentary about making the game called Thank You for Playing. I was going to watch that, but just playing the game was enough.
Like, did you cry, Bobby?
No, I don't.
Bobby doesn't cry. His body doesn't manufacture tears.
Yeah, it's. I have yet to make or a video game yet to really. I guess out of all the video games I've played, this one probably is the most emotional, I'd say.
I would guarantee if I played it tonight, I would cry because of the dog stuff and him.
Do you think this game would be beneficial to those who are dealing and or, you know, trying to cope with cancer?
Well, I don't know if it's going to help you if you're going through that. It might. I think it would be a little uplifting because it does have a positive outlook. And there's a lot of things in the game that talk about other people, not just this kid, but other people dealing with cancer. You know, Total Biscuit, very famous YouTuber, streamer, just video game personality, he is continuing to fight cancer, and it mentions him as well. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a game that I recommend people play. I was surprised to see when I looked at it on my Steam list that there's only one person out of all my friends that have this game. Only one.
Yeah. And you have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm going to play it off of your account. I've been wanting to play it, and I'd rather actually just buy it because, shit,
how much
know.
Is it?
He has a shit ton of kids, right? Don't they have like...
Yeah, he's got a lot of kids. Yeah.
Hour and a half of gameplay, yeah. Though?
The hardest part about this is the very end, because after you go through all this stuff and you play through the
spoiler?
Game... No, not a spoiler. Okay. But at the end,
there's
the
a dead
credits
kid at
roll.
The end, dude.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that. But it ends on a positive note. But then they go and they show you like pictures of the kid.
Oh, in real life. Oh, God.
Like, oh, boy.
You gotta bypass that credits.
Now I read a what do you call it? An article about this, like a long one about this, and the last sequence was the hardest thing for the dad to do. They scrapped hours and hours and hours of work several times to, like, what... Because the last level is the testament to his memory. So
gotcha.
You need to nail it. And even in the article, he said that he still wasn't happy with what that last level was. So, Bobby, would you... Do you think it was apt? Was that... Did they do a right... thing there?
The ending. The last level.
The last level. Yeah, because they ended it on a positive note, and they tried to look at it from the point of view that he was glad that he got to spend more time with the son, because he got diagnosed with cancer 1 year old, and they didn't expect him to live more than a few weeks or a few months. He ended up living 4 years, so he was just kind of thankful, really, that he had that much time with his son.
A little spoiler, by the way. Have you guys seen the movie The Arrival?
No, not yet.
There's some of that kind of concept in that movie, but that movie is a great movie. I don't want to spoil anything, but I recommend that movie for anybody. That was
conversely, I wish my dog died the first day.
So you weren't as attached to it?
No, yeah.
I know.
For sure.
Oh, I told you this when you got the dog that you
not everybody's dog dies the first week.
Dude. You're becoming a parent. You just got to deal good, bad, and the ugly. Like, that's how it...
Was it...
That's how it goes.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, moving on.
Let's get to the show notes.
Uplifting. There, next thing's got to be happy.
Something with titties.
Yeah, please.
Gadget Zen, Chad.
Oh, you want... Okay, so... I fucked up one of the episodes, what, last week or 2 weeks ago? Last week, I think. I didn't even mention that Gadget Zen came out on Tuesday. That just skipped my mind. My PC was having problems, so I didn't even look into Hearthstone. But Gadget Zen's out. New expansion for Hearthstone. It's a straight card set. The interesting thing is it's broken up into three kind of gangs.
Okay.
So the three gangs are... one of them is the mages, the casted class, and okay. they revolve around potions. So all three of those classes have potions. That would be the priest, the warlock, and the mage. And then there's another group that deals with jade golems. So they keep dropping these jade golems, and they get stronger. And there's another set that deals with holy shit. What's the last set deal with? Oh, they buff your cards in hand. And so it's adding this whole new mechanic, and I'm just having a blast. There's like a bunch of new... It just made all the cards now take on a new light because of these new set of cards. So I'm having
fun. Would
you
say it changes up the overall strategy of how, like, what type of cards to put in your deck?
Yeah.
Because essentially these are just, are there other cards in the past? Since I've only really played tutorial through Hearthstone, are these cards that just buff the other cards that you place down, or?
It depends. Like, the one that is most prevalent are ones, there will be cards that you play and it says a creature in hand gets +2/+2 or something like that. But if there's other cards that if they are get buffed become stronger and stronger inherently, and so you start looking at those cards like, oh, now I can start playing these cards, or they become more worthwhile because you can buff them.
So the card itself, if it gets +1/+1 when it gets buffed, doubles up?
Like, there's cards that say when it comes into play, deal its attack damage to another creature or something like that. So,
gotcha.
Like, you can... I've just been having a renewed interest in Hearthstone. It was getting a little stale for me, and I don't usually play the ranked play, and I'm both interested now in ranked play. And Arena is just blown up. I have no idea what I'm doing. I keep losing after
you
three.
You were really good.
Yeah. I can't... I'm still... I haven't figured out the meta now with the new Arena. So, and it's a lot of fun. Just so
two thumbs up
for Gadgetzan. Yep.
Cool. I played an hour of Dishonored 2. Thanks. Shout out to Team Tom, for sharing that with me. It hasn't grabbed me yet.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
I don't know that it, but it's an hour, you know, and 10 minutes of that was a tutorial. So,
you're playing the girl though, and not the guy.
I think, if you played the first one, you're just going to go with the girl because you're like, I've already done the other thing, right? So I'm not going to say much more about that. Just that, you know, it looks more of the same, but I really enjoyed the first one. So, you know, that should be good. Oh. It just hasn't really dragged me in yet.
How about, can you tell me, like, I'm five, what Dishonored 2 is?
Do you know what Dishonored 1 was?
No, we had this discussion. I think you guys tried to explain it to me.
It's a first person shooter.
No,
you don't really shoot much. It's a first-person game.
You know the Thief series?
Okay.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, but it more of a like a steampunky universe.
Yeah,
it's
a weird steampunk universe.
Amelia, by the way, when you get a little ways in, you can either... In this game, you can choose not to get powers if you so want. So getting the powers is actually a choice.
And after the first hour? Or where?
Did you get
that choice?
Did you get to the boat?
No.
Okay, then you're not there yet. You don't have powers yet. You don't have powers yet. It's single player. Is there multiplayer? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Would you say it's like BioShock, no guns?
Sort of.
Steampunk esque.
You can get like a crossbow and stuff like that. So you could get sort of range stuff, but it's more like stealth and trying to kill people in the shadows and hiding their body. Kind of like maybe like a Metal Gear Solid style where you're kind of like trying to hide.
But we're not... This podcast is not a fan of stealth games. This is one of the only stealth games we like.
Yeah.
This and maybe Styx. I enjoyed Styx too. It was just too hard for me.
You played that game.
Yeah. So more on that next week. So Figsack, I read his gushing recommendation about King's Bounty Legend. So I started playing it. Definitely dated. He only plays
Bobby, can you bring it up so I can see what this is?
Thank you. It doesn't even support widescreen, like regular widescreen. You know, it does that thing.
It's 4:3.
Yeah, it's like when you're watching a Jenna Jameson video. Like, it doesn't even have edges on its video. So
that's an interesting analogy, but I get the point.
I know you would.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it's a strat. It's interesting. It's almost like you're doing a dungeon crawler, but instead of hacking things when you encounter a bad guy, you go into a board game that's a strategy game. And one of the refreshing things about this is you get to choose what angle to attack people with as long as you have enough steps to get around behind them. Like, a lot of these games don't work that way. Like, you can put yourself wherever you want, and it's not going to affect what angle you come at them with, but here you get backstab damage and stuff like that. Also, you're not anybody on the field. You're kind of like... It reminded me of Magic the Gathering, too.
Okay.
Because you're like the entity controlling this. So you can cast spells in between every round to help yourself out. So I was enjoying it a lot. And then I was like, hey, Figsack, I'm playing that game that you recommended. And he's like, which one? I said, Legend. And he goes, oh, you don't want to play that one. And I was like, what do you mean, dude? I read this fucking 10-page review that you were discussing. And he's like, no, it's too dated. And then he recommended another one. So I deleted this one. And I'm going to start a new one. The one he did recommend, I think, is called Crossroads. So just because he said that this one's way too dated. But I was having a good time. So I think I'm going to really enjoy Crossroads. So thanks to Figsack on that one.
2008 is when this one came out. So not
that dated. Still go back and replay classic RPGs.
Did you guys see it?
And truly enjoy it. I do like that does implement two different type of game styles into combat. So that's fun.
And even more, like when you're not dungeon crawling and you're not fighting, there's another screen where you're kind of doing trade and barter. There's a lot of going for it. I didn't read one word of text on it. There's a lot of text. I didn't read any of it. And I was still able to figure out what I was doing. So
you have no idea what the story is?
Who fucking cares?
Yeah. Okay.
Those stories are usually all the same.
Yeah. Princess. Cool. Oh, and back really quickly on Dishonored 2. How often do you get to play as the princess? Like, it's pretty rare. Usually you're saving the princess.
Yeah,
or,
that is cool. Yeah, definitely.
I did enjoy that.
After last week's debacle of Final Fantasy 15, it was nice to see a little pro girl.
I guess I'll keep going here, unless somebody else wants to. Symmetra, you want to talk about that, G?
I could talk up briefly my experience with gaming this week. I did stream Wednesday through Friday, as I said I would for December.
Oh, nice.
Thank you for everybody who came by my stream. We had some usuals come through, like Pharaoh Steve, Captain Gummy, and then some new faces like Big Azza. Thank you so much. Those little shout-outs there. Beyond that, I played Overwatch. I played the new Symmetra on PTR just to see how she played. And the thing is, I played on the new maps. Did you guys know that there were new maps?
Yeah, Oasis, yeah.
Yeah, Oasis, and there was a couple different, I think, yeah, and
variations,
then it had like different variations of Oasis.
Of Oasis, really?
And oh my gosh, I don't even know where to begin on these new maps, but it was good, but then since it was so new, it was hard to tell whether or not I was playing well or not playing well because of my lack of map awareness.
Yeah.
If I had the opportunity to play Symmetra on existing maps, it kind of allows me to gauge how much better or worse I can work with a newly patched Symmetra. I just didn't play it. No. No, we'll get to that part. No, but with the new Symmetra, so I did get to play her and try her new abilities. Really nothing new with the turrets other than I get to set up sooner rather than later.
You can put all six down before
all
the game
All six
start?
Down.
With no delay in between them?
Well,
or
the usual putting up delay, that little cooldown.
So
but
good.
But there is no refresher time. You have six max at the start.
Question.
Yes.
If you die, you have all six again?
Ooh, that's a good question. I do not know. I think only at the start of the game.
I keep you around for one thing. Symmetra news.
Yes, Symmetra.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, that's something I can touch base with next podcast. But I did play her shield, and we weren't playing payload. It was all King of the Hill, capture the point, or contest the point. And so her shield wasn't as helpful, in my opinion, because it did deflect certain attacks, but it wasn't pushing my team forward.
Or is that the fault of your team not knowing to utilize it?
It moved very fast. It's not like the shield is up and you get to really point and focus where you want to shoot because Reinhardt is there guarding you and protecting your soft baby ass.
So Symmetra still shitty?
No, because her range and her gun, the increase in the range is going to make a difference. It's a subtle one, but subtle enough for me to notice, wow, I'm actually at this point, like, shooting this person. Because before, if you were with Symmetra, it's important that you keep mobile when you're attacking someone or you're flanking someone and staying out of their LOS so they can't hit you because you have to be so close to them. Previously, before, you would be chasing this person at the same run speed as them. And it's hard. And by the time you can lock your gun on, they realize that you're close to them. But the fact that they increase the range just a tad bit, I feel like it cuts off that awkward, I'm chasing chasing you time
so
away.
Before it was like a TF2 pyro, and now it's like a Ghostbuster. Like,
it's not that impressive of a range, but it was noticeable enough for me to feel like I stood a better chance when it was 1v1, gotcha. and it was a face down.
What about the important part? What about that ult, that shield ult?
The shield, I used it, and I was able to hide it successfully, and it did help out with the team. I don't know how it's going to do in a payload map. That's the thing, like I said, my biggest grievance with testing her out was I felt like a lot of her new abilities would help with a payload, in a payload mm-hmm. situation. And then this one here, it was King of the Hill. I would say the alt was really cool. You don't need the teleporter as much when you're trying to capture the middle point. Yeah. That was pretty pointless. So having the shield up overcomes that lack of purpose for the teleporter.
Let's say you got your ult. Can you switch your ult on the fly?
No. You're only able to switch it right before you put down the ult, because the teleporter and the shield itself both look very much alike.
I guess what I'm saying is you achieve ult, mm-hmm. then you get your choice on which one you want?
Yeah. So,
okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the most of what I did.
Does she have the range of Zarya? Not Zarya's range.
No, not even close. Gotcha. It's whatever her existing range was and boosted ever so slightly, but enough to kind
noticeable.
Of like, yeah, it's noticeable enough
in
a good way.
Gotcha. A couple more inches.
Yeah.
What they won't get.
And they really
what everybody wishes for.
Makes a difference where it
girls
matters.
And boys. We can all agree that a couple more inches.
Well, and then to sum it up, my even though I have been playing Overwatch a lot, I think I've come to the point where I want to dedicate myself to single player games. So I have more to contribute during podcasts. And then on top of that, I did a lot of raging, not rage quitting, but raging. When I placed first season 3, I placed 2,000. I lost enough games to put me down to 1,850. And then from one six-stack with a group of friends, we got up to 2,500 in one night of gameplay. Wow. So I went from gold to platinum in one night.
But you were
Bobby,
carried.
You
want
to talk about this stuff,
carried,
too, right?
I wasn't carried, because it was me and Cricket. Storm, actually, right? Cricket and I.
We'll
yeah, Cricket was
Cricket
part
sucks?
Of that group. No, I'm saying we were all... if it's a six-stack, you're playing against other six-stacks.
Yeah.
So there's a level of game... I don't think I got carried, but yeah, there were definitely better players on their Smurfs playing with me. And okay,
well, that
yeah,
sounds
I got,
like a carry.
Okay, I got carried, whatever,
oh, okay.
No shame.
Yeah,
thank you.
Fuck it.
Thank you, Mr. Carry. Stay in my life, please. anyways.
Yeah.
But no, and then the next day I played a little bit more, and I couldn't win a single game. Oh, no, I played about 4 games, lost 3, and won 1.
That's
and
what happens and when you get carried.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, the thing about Overwatch now, I just realized I was becoming very poisonous to any team, whether it was a winning team or a losing team. I think my expectations...
Gee, you're the toxic one?
Yeah, I'm the toxic one. It was.
If you look around your group,
I want to go back. I want, like,
no one's toxic,
I had bitch face.
You're the toxic one.
Bitch face the entire fucking time I streamed, and I apologize for that. So I'm actually going to go back to single player streaming.
Do you think that you use Overwatch for stress relief?
Oh, yeah, totally. That's what competitive gaming is for me.
So you get in there, complain a little bit, feel better about it, everything, and then...
Yeah, if things are bad going in, they're only going to get worse.
Yeah.
And if I'm in a good mood and playing competitive or any game, games to me are definitely an extension of my mood.
I noticed that because, like... So
I feel like we're on the Dr. Emilio hour.
No.
Welcome back, folks. We have a caller on the line, Chi. She's having some rage issues.
Well, I noticed it because what would you say how much you dedicated your life to CSGO when you were avid CSGO? Hours per week, let's say.
I would say an average
Overwatch.
20 hours per week, 20 to 25, a part-time job into CS. 20 to 30 even.
Yeah. And then now Overwatch?
Since I've gotten back into gaming,
maybe.
10, 15.
Yeah. And you can't expect yourself to be as good.
You're trying to explain to her why she shouldn't be raging?
Exactly.
It doesn't work that way.
No,
it's true. It's true.
What the fuck?
I don't always rage, but right now in Overwatch, for some reason, my rage meter goes significantly off.
She expects herself
more so than other games.
She expects herself to be as good she was at CS. But that's not going to come without the dedication.
She's very good at Overwatch. She's much better than I am. And well, that's not saying a whole lot. I think her, I think she struggles with the fact that Overwatch a lot of times is a team game, and you got to have a good team. And if you don't have a good team, then you can't win.
I don't think that's what you, what are you saying, G? Because I think you're saying do well without a six pack.
No, that's not true. I've done
not
well.
You personally. I mean, people.
No, I'm just saying it's significant how much better it was for me playing with a really good group of six, being that I went up 700 points in one night.
Yeah.
And you get, that's crazy. You get XP boost the more if you're on a winning streak. So, and it, I don't know, it's different. It's almost like my bar. It's such a small, intimate bar that depending on who actually walks in changes the bar completely.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I feel about Overwatch. Yeah. That's how I feel about Overwatch right now. It's whoever I'm playing with predetermines my gaming attitude.
I think you should take a week off and see if you feel better or worse. And if not, then.
Yep. So I will be, so this upcoming week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I will be playing Skyrim wholeheartedly and seeing how far I can get with that.
Cool. Cool. Bobby, you wanted to talk a little bit about competitiveness and and all.
That kind of ties into what I wanted to bring up. Season 3 for Heroes of the Storm is ending, and they're making some big changes for next season that I'm kind of excited about, but other people are not. There's always been a debate as to when you play competitive in a game, how many people can you queue up with? And with Heroes of the Storm, they're saying you can queue up with one other person. You can go into competitive or ranked mode with up to two people, or you can play a team league with a group of five, and those are the only two options.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but if you have three people online, what do? You're fucked.
That's right.
You can't play competitive.
Three or four, you can't do anything. And also, nobody plays team league because it's hard to get five people together. And when you do, the queue times are extremely long, and then you get into a very lopsided game where you either stomp or get stomped. And people have complained a lot about the ranked play because when two people go in together, you have a significant advantage. Although Blizzard says statistically that's not the case, everybody feels the opposite. If you go in and you can actually account for one other person that, like, okay, out of five people, I know at least one other person is on board and is a good player because I picked them out to group up with, then you're going to have a much better chance of winning. And people think that people have abused that, especially at the higher ranks, to get higher MMRs. So what they're doing now is they're saying, okay, Hero League, rank play, you can only queue up by yourself. That's it. Only solo.
No.
And then Team League, because there's two problems. One, everybody complains that people duo queuing in Hero League is unfair. And also the other problem is nobody plays Team League. So they're saying, okay, here's our solution for that. You can only solo queue for Hero League. And if you queue with two or three or five people, then you go into Team League.
Okay.
So there still is ranked play. If you're a group of two, then you'll get matched with group of three, and then you guys may go up against a group of two and three or a group of five. So that's
but fours are still fucked, right?
Because you can't do anything.
You can't
with four.
Do four. Yeah.
And that was always an issue with Smite. For a while, you could play ranked play with not even ranked play, but just the normal conquest mode. You could play with four people, and then they said, no, that's not really fair. Because one person gets left out, and you know it really sucks to be the fifth man in a composition, especially for Smite when you have dedicated
but at least
positions.
Smite had the VGS system, so at least you could communicate.
Yeah, but it wasn't a
them.
Communication problem so much as to like, okay, you have two people. Is one person going to be solo mid? Is the person with no communication going to be solo mid? I mean,
that's true.
It's a little more confusing.
That's true.
Four is always the hardest number, I think, when you have a game that's 5v5. And then they changed it to three, but then people were like, well, I always play with three other guys. It's me and three other guys. We have a group of four. That's how we always play. So now we can't play anymore. And that wasn't even just ranked. That was just in their normal conquest mode. So I don't know. What's the answer here? Blizzard has said we're only going to do this temporarily for season three. I think it's what they're on.
It sounds like the right choice. And and just four is four. You know, you just got to deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
Or they do a mode that's specific for four players and just as a fun mode. And if you want to play four, you just say, okay, they're going to do
four. I mean, you
fours.
Can still do four in quick match. You can still do four in unranked. This is just competitive. This is all this applies to.
The way I solve this is I just don't have friends, and then I never have to worry about this problem. And then I'm all good there.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be good. It sounds like a good idea. But I'm glad they're only doing it temporarily to see how it goes, and maybe they'll adjust it. One issue that people have brought up is the team league's going to be first come, first serve picking. So in the past, if it just picks the order, who's going to pick first and whoever has the highest MMR.
Oh, and you can't trade?
No, that is coming
soon. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's coming soon, but they have not implemented
that. Shit show.
Yeah, it can be very confusing. Not nearly as bad as Super Monday Night Combat, where everybody could hover any character they want.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The first person to click in.
Lock it in. So you'd have people hover the same person, and then people would get the itchy trigger finger, and then they just lock it in right away because they thought their pick was being threatened. So I don't know. I think it's going to be good for the game.
You solo queue anyways, right? No, you group most of the time.
When I play competitive, I typically solo.
Okay. If I play, so you're going to like this change because it helps you, theoretically, because you'll never deal with duos anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. So on the whole, you like the
change.
Well,
that and, like, I think it's just going to... People are going to play Team League, which they never did before.
Yeah.
So how do they do it in Overwatch? Because I don't play competitive Overwatch. How many people can you group up with and go into
any number.
It doesn't matter?
Yeah.
At all? Wow.
No.
Okay.
Right, Chi? You can queue any number, right?
And then just queue...
No, in Overwatch.
In Overwatch, yeah, you could queue anywhere from 1 through 6. And then just when you were talking about that, I really was just thinking of the voiceover communication for Overwatch and how they still need to fix it. Half the time you can't communicate with your teammates, and it's frustrating. If they had just like a universal...
Smite, you know, still had the best. I still am so impressed with Smite.
Really? But for Overwatch, I would say if they just had this option where if you hit a hotkey, it ping out to everybody else in the group for like almost like a voting session. It's like this person wants you to join team chat. Do you agree? Yes, no, or ignore. And that's what it needs, because otherwise everybody else at different times of the game are getting frustrated, more frustrated, because they're not able to communicate with
other members. I thought
everybody
was automatically put into the same voice channel.
If you queue with somebody else, you're in group channel. And then if you queue alone, you're in team channel. And then you have to go out of your way to put yourself into the team channel every new game.
Mm. Yeah, that sucks.
Very ineffective.
Yeah. Well, Overwatch, a lot like Heroes of the Storm, is entirely based on your team's performance, and it's not like Dota or League where one person can carry the game. Like Heroes of the Storm requires a lot of coordination and team play, more so than similar games. So it's kind of amazing that they don't have any voice chat or they don't have any communication. They say all this stuff's coming, and you know, I just don't know when.
It's but been long enough. Jesus Christ, Blizzard.
In HOTS, have people ever just thrown a random Discord link? Like, hey, team, jump on this Discord. Is that, or do you guys just kind of rely on typing?
If you join in Team League, because you get bonuses for completing your placement matches in each, in Ranked and Team League. So every time I've joined up with strangers for Team League, there's always been Discord. There's always been voice communication. But just going into a random game, no, never.
Okay.
And is cursed voice just out? Because when cursed voice came out, it would like auto connect you to your other guys that were using
it. Did that in Smite, but I hear nobody does that in Smite anymore. Mm-hmm. Like there was some cross promotion where if you had Smite, you would get a certain amount of gems.
Yeah,
and people started using it. But
I thought that was cool.
I don't know how many people use curse anymore. I haven't loaded the thing up
curse
in forever.
Was a proto Discord.
Yeah, but Discord doesn't have that integration with games that Curse does. I don't know.
That's a little intrusive, too, though, to auto-connect.
Yeah, Curse would put an overlay on your game.
Yeah.
Like, I highlight whoever was talking.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to certain people, so.
That's true. Or anybody. Bunker Punks, before we move on to listener questions.
Bunker Punks was this, like, I got it because it said roguelike stuff. I don't know.
They lied.
I started playing it. No, I guess it kind of was. It's very akin to, like, the graphics even are back to, like, Castle Wolfenstein. You're going through hallways, randomly generated.
Holy shit, that's old.
Yeah. And you're playing through, and you're just shooting shit. And there's progression. But then if your character dies, I think your money transfers over to your next character.
Oh, this is like Quake.
Yeah. But anyway, it got super repetitive, and even though I was unlocking things, I wasn't unlocking things that were fun. I was locking things that kept me alive longer. and I just didn't enjoy it. I stopped playing it after maybe a couple hours. It's just one of these things where they hit me with enough cash raises that I was like, okay, this is up my alley, but then it wasn't up my alley. So
they have a better marketing team than a design team?
Yeah, I can't recommend this game.
Yeah, okay.
$14.99 seems like a lot.
Holy
for a game
shit,
like this.
Holy shit, $14.99?
Well, I bought it during the fall sale.
Oh, I see.
Because it was on my wish list. Mm-hmm. And this just goes to prove that I don't like everything.
Well, is this like Doom? You can't move your cursor up or down?
No, you can. And you can jump. Which, can you do that in Doom?
Yes.
Can you?
I don't know.
Not in the original ones.
Oh, no?
Yeah,
you can jump. I don't know how much it adds to the whole thing. I was finding myself trying to add. I was like, maybe if I kill this guy like this, it'll be more fun. Like, I was adding things myself.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Adding your own difficulty.
Yeah, maybe if I do a 360 pop shot. No, none of it.
Wow. Okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Bobby, shoot us over on the listener question.
Listener question. All right. Oh, this was just copy and pasted from Discord, I'm assuming.
It is, yes.
I'm trying to read it before I actually speak it because I don't want to fuck it up. Let's see. Per an argument we had on here last week.
This was FigSack, by the way.
Yeah, from FigSack. Per an argument we had last week, we would all like you to take a minute on the podcast and discuss specs of console versus PC. If a PS4 or an Xbox One was a gaming PC, what level rig would it be?
So I actually did some research. I have a couple of links on there, Bobby. So somebody in Discord, and I apologize, I don't remember who did that, one of our listeners, linked a YouTube video. And the YouTube is actually from about a year ago. And he put together a $375 console. He calls it the Potato Masher. And so he put it together. But this was like a year ago. So there was another article I found, which just came out December 7th from Top 10 Gamer. And so he put together a couple $400 gaming PCs and then compared it versus the new PS Pro and Xbox One. And so basically what he said is you can do it, but most of the time the console will win out in just pure competitiveness because they have so much economies of scale. You can just get a really decent... He compares... Go back to the Top 10 Gamer one. He compares the GPU on the PS4 to the RX 480, I believe. So that's a decent, you know, decent graphics card, even by today's standards. So
I feel like these hardware specs, like a direct comparison...
Yeah,
the video you linked here is to a channel called Germ Gaming, by the way. Thought we'd just give that guy credit. But to do a direct comparison of the hardware is a little misleading, I think, because when they create a game for the console, I mean, they program that specifically
exactly for
that hardware. So, there's a lot less headroom. I don't know. I'm going to start using terms that I don't know exactly what they mean here. But if you program something to run specifically on this hardware and no other hardware, then it's going to perform a lot better than something that has to run on all these different kinds of power or CPUs and graphics cards with drivers.
The advantage of the PC is also the disadvantage. The advantage of the PC is you get to create it exactly how you want it. You put the money where you want, you put the specs where you want, and you can build it out exactly how you want it. But that's also the downside because you have so many different options, a game has to be built to be able to run all those different options. So a lot of PC gaming and design around PC games is to make sure it can run all these different specs. You don't have to do any of that on a console.
I feel the same way about like Macs. Macs, like when you see their hardware, their horsepower, let's say, their horsepower pales in comparison, but they run so much better a lot of the time because all of their apps, we're calling them apps now, everything that runs on Apple is Apple. And I no better proof of this is when I went from iPhone to Android, where I felt like, I know that every single one of my non-Apple apps run better on Android because they are like, it's like playing a PC game. That's why I always tell everybody, if you don't play PC games, buy a Mac because they just run better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have really good build quality, too. But you pay for that. They're way, way more expensive.
Yeah, I think it's a question like this is kind of moot because yes, you can make something that's similar for around the same price, but there's so many just differences. You're both gaming, but there's different exclusives. Like Steam's got so many more exclusives than PS4 and Xbox, but Xbox and PS4 have those drivers that people want to play. So, and the other thing about PCs that I think people neglect is you have to put it together. And if you're not putting it together, somebody else has to put it together for you. And you have to pay for that. So,
you have to take care of it. You have to take care of your PC.
Exactly.
You've got to do the updates. You have to keep it cleaned out. You have to monitor what you're downloading and everything else. There's a lot involved for the security of your PC and everything. Yes, exactly. And beyond that, like beyond just the hardware issue, I've never thought to compare PC and console, because to me it's beyond just the guts and the hardware itself too.
True.
I see how console, like Apple products too, are so much easier to maintain.
Yeah.
And you do get a good amount of time and enjoyment out of it, but which kind of spawns a new question for me in regards to what this question is. The lifespan of what you're putting into a PC and the amount of money you're putting into a console, games, new consoles, new generation consoles come out how often? And
4 to 8 years.
No.
And how often?
They're doing that differently.
6 to 8 years now.
Well, yeah. How often are you going back and playing, you know, these legacy titles like we were talking about earlier? Or, are you able to reutilize like your old resources as you do with PC gaming?
Yeah, no, you don't. And the other thing is, and it's stuff that PC gamers always talk about, is we get online for free and none of the consoles do.
Oh,
so, but also,
if you're talking 4 years at $50 a year,
at this point,
$200,
it's ridiculous.
Doesn't every Xbox first person or like first party title come out for PC? At this point, I think no.
We're not sure yet. Microsoft is starting to, but we're not sure if that's their strategy moving forward. For example, you know, if they have some killer app for the Xbox, we still don't know if they're going to do day and date on PC.
Gears of War 4 is their killer app, and they put it out for both. So,
yeah, we don't know if they're going to do that for every title, or if this was one of the ones that they're
testing the waters. With
exactly.
That. And speaking of that, it's literally downloading at my house right now. So I'm going to try to get Bobby to play one video game with me once.
Wow, he was all in. He said, "Yeah, let me just download the 80 gigs."
And bro dates?
He says a lot of things.
That's true.
What do they call them? Bro dates? Bromances?
Bromances? Yeah. They do, but it all just is physical stuff. they don't play video games during that time. So, yeah, so I think the question is, yes, you can make it. You could probably make one right now that's better for around the same price. But also, you got to talk about, does that count a monitor? Does that count the keyboard? Does that count the mouse? You know, like, there's other things that come along with a PC. No, another thing to talk about, if you get a console, you're still going to have a PC in some respect, even if it's your mobile, because you can't do everything that a PC can do on your console. So you're going to have some other device if you have a console,
which is an additional cost.
That
makes the console an additional cost.
Yeah.
At that point. So let me try to put this together in my head. Is the console more expensive than making the computer you already use for everything else game worthy?
Does that
make sense?
Well, I think it really...
Does that make sense, what I just said?
Yeah.
Right?
What did you say?
Okay, so your console needs to be cheaper than... Because you have to have a computer. People need computers.
But you can just have a family computer, or people have iPads, or, you know, like, you don't have to spend a ton of money on that.
It's going the iPad way.
Yeah.
Making whatever computer you're using for everyday life... A gaming PC, does that cost more than a console? And I think that's the real question.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a computer regardless. Maybe you spend a little bit more on that computer and make it a gaming computer as opposed to getting a plain computer or a laptop and then getting a console.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was the logic.
I'm super drunk and I came up with that. Like, I can't even feel my lips.
Yeah. Wow. And you're driving us home.
Yeah. Well.
Goodness, guys.
No, I'm joking. I'm driving, and I'm drunk too. No, I'm joking about that. Can we sum this up? Wait.
I think that summed it up pretty well.
Yeah, I think the end of it is, since we're all PC fans, we're going to fight for saying the PC is the right choice. But I think it really depends on what your friends are playing, because that really comes down to it. If your friends are playing PC, you will find a way to get a $400 PC together.
I feel like those things fluctuate too.
You know what I need to do every time I play a video game? Alt fucking tab. And like, it's just the resourcefulness of a PC game.
Yeah.
And PC gaming, it's more immersive in that element.
You know what I did the other day?
I think this question is mostly just hardware, right?
You know what I did the other day? I put Ratatouille on my 55-inch screen.
Yeah.
And I had a game going.
Ratatouille being the movie.
Yeah,
Disney movie.
For a four-year-old.
Pixar movie?
Yeah, a Pixar movie. For a four-year-old was there, and mm-hmm. I was playing a video game on my screen. That's one computer doing all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I know, but you don't have a $400 PC. You have a $400...
Right. Not only that console, you have to buy a TV. So if we're talking about monitors,
yeah, but everybody's
and keyboards,
got a TV.
I might need a new TV, guys. My TV's flickering at me. It's weird.
Ooh.
Don't know what it means.
I can let you borrow my TV that I took down. It's a 42-inch.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll store it.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Trade for the pink controller.
I'm going to throw this into the podcast because people have asked for it and I forgot about it. This is my 1 month and maybe 1 week review of my Pixel.
People wanted
to know whether or not they should hop over.
Oh, now that the commercials are coming out.
Yeah. It is still, this is for sure the best phone I've ever had, but, you know, technology marches forward. Two complaints would be, one, the battery life is not what my iPhone had, but again, that could come back to efficiency because it's running its own apps. And also, I had an iPhone 6 Plus, which means it's a giant phone, which has a giant battery.
Yeah, so, your phone is not big.
No, I didn't want one. Because I want to text on one hand. That's what it comes down to.
Because you're jerking off with the other. Gotcha.
Exactly, yeah. And
complaint number two?
Complaint number two, I don't remember. I'm really...
The vibration isn't strong enough when you shove it up your ass? I'm just paraphrasing for what you told me.
I have had some connectivity issues on Project Fi. I haven't had any drop calls like Mobius, I think, says that he has. But he's in buttfuck Texas, I think. So it's a little different, but... I have had low bars at certain points, but that is all
low bars.
First world problems, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost had to go into the store and that was terrible.
But I think it's all dissuaded. Like all of that you can wipe away with how often it's on Wi-Fi. It's on Wi-Fi all the time without asking me. It's just, it's on Wi-Fi.
So you've paid a bill now on Project Fi, and that bill was how
$45.
Much? $45.
Yeah. Very nice.
And that was you not having any reservations on your data or anything like that?
Yeah,
just doing
I went
however
from
you want.
Using 5 gigs a month to 2 gigs a month without changing anything.
Okay.
And so...
And you look at a lot of porn on your mobile app.
Yeah, but it's all on Wi-Fi.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And it lights up my screen so people can see spiders when...
That's true. Yeah. When you're getting fellatio.
You guys don't know that story. Check
another
Discord. Discord for that story. So anyway, 9 out of 10, 9.5 out of 10. Like, love it. Love it, love it, love it.
I'm just wondering, because I'm an Android user, so if I go to Pixel, will I have that same, like...
Interface? I don't know.
Will I love it, or because I'm already on Android, will I just be like, okay, this is just another Android phone?
I don't know. I can't answer that because this is my first Android phone.
Yeah.
But what I can say is...
I've been telling you for 6 years to get an Android phone.
But this is
you keep sucking the cock of Apple.
It was a long road with Apple, though, because there was a time when it was definitely better. Like, there were no apps for Android phones.
Yeah.
Like, it was a shitty time to own an Android phone. And I had an iPhone for quite a long period of time. And having owned both, there are a few things that I still prefer.
Siri is just... better.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Siri's better.
Siri's
I left
better.
Before that even came into play. For some reason, iPhones have really weak speakers, too.
So,
Android...
In the back.
Android Assistant is built into the hardware of this phone as opposed to being some sort of software.
Oh, an app?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm having better success with OK Google than I was with Hey Siri.
Oh,
okay. She does more things. It does more things.
Okay. Now. Maybe that is.
But this might be the one that's just a little bit better.
Okay. Because mine is poop. My OK Google is poop compared to when you would use your Siri. I was a little jelly, honestly, because you'd be like, OK, Siri, you know, do this and that. And when I do OK Google, it brings up a website I have to select at this.
I would check rather this out. Be stranded in a desert that had mobile data with a Google phone than an Apple phone, for certain.
Well, I'm also kind of biased because I've never used an Apple phone.
So me and my lady were in bed.
Yeah, for sure.
Me and my lady were in bed the other night, and she's like, "Hey, do you remember that thing you have to do in the morning?" And I was like, "Oh yeah," and I said, "Okay, Google, set an alarm for 8:30 a.m. Right? Common stuff." And it's like, "Okay, I will." And then I got a text message when I was trying to fall asleep, and it's super loud. And I go, "Okay, Google, go on silent mode." Guess what happened?
The alarm still went off.
Silence.
No,
she didn't even respond. Like I said, go into silent mode. She did it and did not respond. Like she, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's
yeah,
awesome.
like ninja. She went to ninja. I gotta pee right now.
All right, let's go into news.
So anyway,
then.
Love it, love it, love it.
News.
All right, news. China implements a law making
games. You're literally the news.
I'm the news guy.
God damn it. Right. Go ahead, Bobby. You got the first one.
China implements a law making game makers reveal their drop rates on loot boxes.
Yeah.
You guys can extrapolate.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing? We're going to see inside the hidden areas that we don't normally get to see, I feel like, with this one.
Well, for popular games, people have done a lot of research on this. Like Overwatch, as soon as that game came out, there was that Reddit post where people were like, okay, they took this guy who bought 100 or 200 loot boxes, and these were his drop rates compared to this guy's drop rates, and they just kind of figured it out. But I don't know. It's more transparency in the game industry, and there seems to be a trend towards this. I mean, we saw it in the last couple of weeks where they were having that advertising thing. Like, you got to show in-game footage and, you know, not pre-rendered stuff, not stuff that's a little disingenuous. So I don't know. I think it's all good. Is it going to make a huge difference in games? Maybe, maybe not.
Well, the thing that I think is important here is that you have to have an additional implementation for this. You know, like game makers have to actually display it or whatever, right? Or can they put it on a website or something like that? The only thing that I think is major is there is a possibility that China might just not get as many games now because if they've got to do additional implementation to somehow satisfy their laws that come into place, you know?
Games are already very different in China, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know what I think would be very satisfying for a loot box and across the board in generalization? I think if you're purchasing something, there should be some level of exclusivity with the items inside and an increased drop rate for those exclusive items to kind of always make it feel like your money invested is well worth is, you know, coming back. You're gaining something out of it.
But there's no win there because the people that don't put money in are going to feel cheated when they hear that, right?
I mean, that's the point of putting money in, right?
Well, for these loot boxes, they're all what was I going to say? It's all, you know, decoration. What it's called? It's all
cosmetic.
Cosmetic. It's
but
all
it's
cosmetic.
Not like Hearthstone. A loot box actually gives you more cards. It's crucial.
Okay.
So what's the drop rate of a legendary on a loot box? Because I feel like in Gadgetzan, it's much higher. I opened my 50-pack in Gadgetzan and got 60 legendaries. Or 6 legendaries, not 60. Woo-hoo, I would love that.
For cosmetic only. I can't say that for for cards. I would see how that would be cheating. Like, the more money you have, the better your advantages.
Yeah. I got 6 legendaries, and the last expansion that I got a 50-pack, I got 2 legendaries. So I don't know if they changed the drop rate for legendaries. But it would be interesting to find out. And when this law goes into effect, they're going to have to show the drop rates.
It'll be global. even though it's in China.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I think they did with you, Bobby? I think they did a screening on your profile, and you had already earned so much, you know, karma points for your gaming profile that they just sympathized with you and just gave you all the good loot.
Probably.
It's like, this kid's having a bad gamer life. Well,
let's turn things around.
You're talking about
let
me?
Let Santa come this year for this guy.
Oh. You pulled the Emilio. You called me Bobby.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm sorry, Chad. That's
we're two white guys.
Bobby,
we look identical.
I'm sorry. I looked up Chad, called him Bobby.
I'm used to it.
But they've actually done this.
Look like Bobby,
right?
Without the hair.
You don't look anything. You guys don't look anything like each other. I think it's because I'm reading the screen and Bobby was the last two words.
No worries.
But Hearthstone is a game that definitely does this. And I think there's some other ones where if you don't get something for a long period of time, like if you have very bad luck, then they increase your chances of getting something
good. And the game's going to have to show that, right?
Self-correcting.
It's going to, like, that's what China's is putting this law into place. Like, it's going to have to show you the increase in drop rate, isn't it?
I would imagine, yeah.
Okay, so it's going to
be like this, and variable with this, or something.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of crazy.
Yeah. Shadow Warrior 2 is getting the Way of the Wang free DLC. I saw what they're adding. It's not like a ton of stuff gameplay-wise.
The Wang Way.
Yeah.
Boom! Gee with the jokes. there was actually a pilot named Wang Wei that fucking crashed a plane.
No,
that was a troll thing.
That was
what?
A troll.
What?
Are you talking about the news article, the news screenshot?
Is that on The Onion?
Yeah.
Yeah, Onion is where I get all my news. What?
No, there was I think somebody called into a news show.
Can somebody look that up, please, on Discord, please? Is Bobby, the Wang Wei thing?
Bobby, look this up. Because
No, that we have minions.
Anyways, all right, let's move on.
So anyway, I read what it has. It's like four more trials. I don't know what trials are. A bunch of new things for crafting, but like 50 fixes. So it seems like a big patch that they call a DLC, in my opinion. But I don't know what trials are. Maybe trials are like, Bobby, do you know what they are?
Yeah, they're like quests.
Okay.
I have a side note on this.
It depends how big those quests are.
I just bought Shadow Warrior 2 because Emil and I were supposed to play together.
Yeah.
And then he ended up not because he has a puppy that's sick. So and
did both of you buy Shadow Warrior 2?
No, I play it off your account.
Oh,
he
okay.
plays it off his own.
So there's now two available for our foursome. So if two people want to play co-op, you can now, if you're Steam sharing with me.
No, she doesn't want to Steam share with
that's
us.
Right.
That's right. Everybody knows this.
Anyways, so if you want to play two-player co-op, we now have two versions or two copies of Shadow Warrior 2. Yeah.
Someday, and
I'm up to play. I played about an hour's worth, maybe an hour and a half, and so far I'm not seeing what you guys are seeing on it because it was very, very, I don't know. I wasn't having a great time, so we'll have to see if we play some co-op. But, yeah, Shadow Warrior 2.
All right, I got to get back into that game.
So we'll play some co-op.
Yeah, so maybe a little, just a little less Heroes of the Storm.
I got the
just
game now, guys. Please play.
Just a little.
Yeah. You act like I play so much Heroes of the Storm.
What I'm saying is, like, when you're not playing it, maybe you could not watch videos of it. Or if you're not, you know.
There's going to be a lot of Heroes of the Storm the next coming months. They're doing the league format. Like that, I don't.
Like I said before we started the podcast, I think you should go the other way, Bobby.
Well, I said that first, but
I think you need
that.
To go and try to get competitive.
Quit your job.
Yeah, I want you to play 60 hours a week, and I want you to try to get competitive. I want you to be on a top tier. If you're not EG or Cloud9 in 6 months, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Well,
I want you to go full on in, and. Give us some insight on the other
side. We'll see how that goes. I got 2 weeks coming, 2 weeks off coming up, so we'll see.
Okay,
that's
fair enough
to be professional.
Yeah, you can make it.
The Binding of Isaac trailer came out for Afterbirth.
If you're drinking at home, you will now be drinking for Binding of Isaac. Emilio was saying Binding of Isaac.
Afterbirth Plus, which is their third expansion, I believe. It's going to be $9.99, but if you already own the original game, you're going to pay $6.99. And I watched the trailer. I enjoyed it tremendously because I recognize everything that I see in there. And I'm just excited. It comes out in November 2nd.
November? Holy shit.
I mean, sorry. January 2nd.
Afterbirth was such a creative name for DLC or a sequel, and then just to add plus to it seems
totally
a little
agree.
Weak, you know.
They should have called it like Placenta Burst.
Wow.
Yeah. I said it. What?
Kick to the womb. Okay, what else we got?
So MechWarrior 5 has been announced, and it's going to be fully single player. Back to what we were talking about.
Wait, which one was MechWarrior 4?
I think it was 15 years ago. I think it was for the PC. I mean, PlayStation.
Okay, so this is like basically a brand new game. They should have just called it MechWarrior, rebooted the series, and just fucking gone with it.
It doesn't matter to me. There's a new MechWarrior.
Okay,
Bobby,
cool.
What do you got?
I would like it better as a single player experience because the MechWarrior games, the last one I played was just way, way too much. Way too much to configure. And it was like, if I'm going to play this game, I'm going to have to like dive deep into it and spend all my time playing it. And I don't know. That didn't seem appealing to me. If you make it a single player, like that's a whole nother deal. Like I would play that. And I'm not a mech warrior.
So
fan.
This is different than Battle Mech or the one that we were talking about at the beginning, right? That's another game that's coming out. Anybody? What was the 22 minute
BattleTech?
BattleTech.
Yeah, I got confused too.
Okay. Mech Warrior wasn't that originally like an Xbox DLC?
I think it's originally
not DLC. No, yeah, Mech
Warrior is like
I think
old.
That's yeah.
I think Mech Warrior
is the original mech anything.
Wasn't it originally like D&D style, like a tabletop game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like what do they call that? A third person isometric or something?
No, I think even before that, I think it was originally like a D&D style.
I don't know.
Tabletop
I think I
game.
Played that game on the Sega Genesis is all I'm saying. So it is old.
Yep.
Bobby, you want to click on those links? I think it's pertinent to what we're talking about.
It is not pertinent because you are completely wrong.
Actually,
Wang Wei is not an actual pilot. I mean,
it says Wang Wei. And
I mean, there might be a pilot named
and
Wang
he died
Wei
in a fucking tremendous car track or plane crash.
No.
Yeah, it happened.
No.
Go fuck yourself, Chad.
You are completely wrong.
Oh man. No, yeah, he's not wrong. He's Wang.
Yeah. Wow.
He's definitely a pilot, though.
I'm so disappointed with all of you.
Okay. Well.
I have one last thing that I was so mad at myself. Come Wednesday or so. So for you listeners, what happens is we do the audio and then I go in and I add the intro and outro. And when I do the intro, I pick a clip from the game and I keep tending to do clips that where I'm talking and I apologize. I don't know why I always do that, but I threw this game together last week because I forgot to do it, so I put it together Tuesday morning, right before it went out. And then Wednesday or Thursday, it like a bolt of lightning, it hit me. I was like, holy fucking shit, I did this wrong. Because last week we had this whole diatribe where Bobby was talking about Rape on a Plane.
No, well, he wasn't talking. He was talking about Chad. Bobby and I were talking about you talking about
Rape on a Plane. Yeah, but Bobby had this whole line where he said, we're not going to start the episode off with Rape on a Plane. And I should have put that together at the beginning of the clip to fucking start the podcast. I was so mad at myself come Wednesday or Thursday. I was just so pissed at myself.
And, you know, it's funny. It's like, I'll give you that because if I think I have a really good joke, I'll bring it up to everyone that I've met or meet in the next 2 weeks. So
I think what you get one. What I'm really saying is, Bobby, I want you to say the words, you can't start a podcast with Rape on a Plane, so I can put it together for this episode.
I can't say it now because it's not going to come out naturally. We can't
God
force
damn it.
That. Yeah. See, you should have just held on to that. It would have come up eventually. It always does. I mean,
What comes up eventually, Bobby? Go ahead.
You know
Let me
what?
Know.
You know what?
All right. Finish this off, somebody.
That's gross.
Bobby dives at everyone.
Yeah.
Well...
Are we talking about anything for next week?
I think probably some multiplayer Shadow Warrior 2. I'm down for that. And also, so I literally downloading Gears of War 4, so Bobby and I will play that.
You might need to download it again, though.
Oh, yeah. Why is that? Double download.
Oh, the double download.
Yeah. You got to download that game 2 times.
I might have to buy that game.
And, that's 80 gigs.
And play that.
So you can rage on that game instead of Overwatch? Boom.
No. Gosh. No, that's an old part of my soul. Yeah. I'm talking.
You're playing Skyrim, though, Wednesday through Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay.
This is the only time that a game has almost dissuaded me from purchase because of the size. 80 gigs is nearly one-fifth of my total capacity.
It probably is close to one-fifth, considering that you really don't have 500 gigs.
Yeah. Yeah,
and your operating system is taking up 80 gigs or something like that. Anyways. So
it's like 20 gigs or something.
You really only, it's taking up maybe a quarter of your available resources.
Yeah. It's like that woman that wants to be exclusive with you. Yeah. All or nothing, baby.
Yeah, just go all in on the Gears
of War. It if you go balls deep.
Yeah, balls deep.
Bobby, what do you got next week? Watching Hots vids, playing some Hots, and...
What were we watching before we started this podcast?
The last qualifiers.
Okay, and then they're going into the season, right, for Heroes of the Storm? When does that start?
I don't know. I'm assuming January.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious because I like watching competitive stuff. I watch...
Yeah. It'll be consistent, too. I mean, there's going to be a lot of competitive Hots, so I'm excited about that. It's going to be not like one big giant event, but just more spread out. So, yeah, that'll be cool. I am going to be on vacation for 2 weeks. This is the time of year I always get back into weird games like Awesome Knots. I suggested that during the last sale, but I've checked some of the reviews, and apparently... that game's kind of gone to shit. I haven't experienced that personally, but I'll check it out and let you know. Going to play some Gears of War and hopefully some Shadow Warrior 2.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Can you play more than two players online?
On what?
Shadow Warrior 2?
Yeah, you can play up
to four. I have to buy my own copy then.
I mean, if you want to play with the rest of us.
Yeah, like that's going to happen.
She's going to buy one.
Three people.
The Steam Summer or Winter Sale is starting this 22nd, I believe. The dates have been leaked. So I would wait for that before any big purchases.
Cool. All right. Speaking for Chi, Chad, that's Bobby, and myself.
I see that.
Festive, merry, golden titties, everyone. Titties.